Okay, so the first of our pre-Pesach topics. So we'll try to spend a little bit of time analyzing, both in terms of wonders, in terms of some practicality, lamaisa. Of course, the big challenge, big obstacle that's in everyone's minds these days about how in the world they're going to maneuver through the Shabbos when you have an Erev Pesach chal be Shabbos. So there are really two distinct issues that are going on in this sugya. There's one a halakhic issue and one is a technical, logistical issue. So we're going to try to deal with the halakhic issues, and then our wives and our mothers are going to try to deal with the logistical issue. So we'll try to present what some of the halakhic challenges are and what some of the halakhic solutions are, and then we'll try to give some eitzes about how to make everybody happy, even Noshim B'mai Zachyan, as they work so hard these days to prepare for Pesach. So the sugya really begins in Masechet Shabbos, in the 16th parakh of Masechet Shabbos. And the Gemara tells us that Chayv Adam Lechel Gibel Sudas B'Shabbos. One is obligated to eat three meals on Shabbos. The Gemara derives this from a pasuk, V'yom Moshe Achlu Hayoyim, Ki Shabbos Hayoyim, Hashem Hayoyim Simtzah. It says the word Hayoyim three times. So those who were with us in the winter break, during the Ben HaSemester Mishurim. So I think we spoke about this a little bit. I'm not mistaken that there is a machlokes that we shown him whether this is a real chi of gomer min haTorah, these are famish psukim as a drasha deraisa, or whether this is only a chi of min derabbanan, the psukim are only b'taras asmachta. So for our purposes, it doesn't really make much of a difference that you have to do it, you have to eat the gimel sudas. So we're obviously going to try to be yotze gimel sudas. The fact that it happens to be Erev Pesach, that in and of itself is not a pita from the obligation of gimel sudas, but it does raise a little bit of a challenge as to what practically we're going to do to fulfill these sudas. So there is a machlokes in Rishonim as to what goes into Suda Shabbos in the first place. Forgetting about Erev Pesach, on a regular Shabbos, it's coming Shabbos. So what's on the menu for Suda Shabbos? What does the Torah mean when it says Yom Hashechlu Hayayim? What's bank? What does the Torah, what does the Chacham mean? What has to be eaten in order to fulfill the chiyuv of Gimel Sudas? So this was a big machlokes of Ben Taam and probably anybody else. Rabbi Natam's opinion was that the chi of Suda does not really mean bread. There never was a chi of bread on Shabbos in terms of Gimel Sudas. Suda means like it means in other areas of Halacha. Rabbi Natam had a right from the Chasukah that even Minei Tagima are also considered to be Shem Suda on them. Minei Tagima are different opinions in the Rishonim, whether Minei Tagima refers to fruit, whether it refers to Dvar HaBar Malapis as a pasta, fish and chicken, things that usually accompany bread, or whether it refers to Mizonas kinds of dishes, not necessarily bread, but noodle kugels, pasta, cereals, things like that. So there were three different opinions in the Rishonim, what exactly these Minei Tagima the Rabbi Natam is referring to are. But according to Rabbi Natam's understanding of the sugya of Masechet Sukkah, it comes out that Minei Tagima is really acceptable for Suda Shabbos. But then Rabbi Yoina in Masechet Brachos points out that Rabbi Natam does not really mean that you don't have to eat bread on Shabbos. That's ridiculous, because the Gemara says in Brachos, in Daf Mem Tes, that if a person benched on Shabbos and forgot to say Ritzei, so you have to repeat. You have to repeat the benching. The Gemara says this is in contrast to Yalav Yavo and Rish Chodesh. If you forgot Yalav Yavo and Rish Chodesh, you don't repeat the benching, because Yiboy Ochli Boy Lochel. Nobody told you to wash. You weren't required to wash and bench on Rish Chodesh in the first place. You're not allowed to fast on Rish Chodesh, but there's no chiyuv suda on Rish Chodesh. There's no chiyuv to eat dafka bread on Rish Chodesh. So only in Shabbos and Yontif, where there's a chiyuv of eating bread, does the person have to repeat the benching. So that's Rabbi Yoina asks against Rabbi Natam. How could Rabbi Natam say that you could be yaitzei the three meals of Shabbos of Vina Tagima if the Gemara says beferish that the whole reason why you have to repeat the benching is because you're required to eat bread? Why do you have to eat bread on Shabbos? So Rabbi Yoina explains Rabbi Natam meant is like this. They watered down Rabbi Natam a little bit. Rabbi Natam meant was that there's no chiyuv to eat bread outside the Shabbos, but there is a chiyuv to eat bread out something else. It's a totally different reason why even Rabbi Natam concedes you have to eat bread on Shabbos. What's the totally different reason? Because there's a din of Ein Kiddush Al B'Machom Suda. We just had a Daf Yomi a couple of days ago. Ein Kiddush B'Machom Suda. And Rabbi Natam probably understood that the Suda purposes for Ein Kiddush B'Machom Suda are on a higher level than the Suda purposes for Gimel Sudas and Shabbos. Why should that be so? Because his brother, the Rashbam, explains, why is it that Ein Kiddush El B'Machom Suda? So one of the reasons the Rashbam gives is because Chazal wanted it to be Yain Choshev. When you make Kiddush, so Chazal instituted Kiddush al Yayin. In the Torah, Kiddush is Bidvarim. But they're Abaran, they instituted Kiddush al Yayin. And then they hiked it up another level and said, it has to be a Yayin Choshev. A Yayin Shibesach HaSuda is a Yayin Choshev. A Yayin, they just take a cup of wine and on the run, so that's not such a Yayin Choshev. So apparently Rabbi Natam understood that to be called a suda for the purposes of chayv adam lechal gimel sudas b'shabes, so that even minitagime, even a piece of gefilte fish may be good enough. But in order to be called kiddush macham suda, to grab chashivas to the yayin, so it has to be a chashiva suda, a suda chashuva. Suda chashuva means bread. So if that's the case, if Rabbi Natam concedes that you have to eat bread on Shabbos for Kiddush Mocham Suda, so my Hanilon Rabbi Natam's statement. So what did Rabbi Natam mean when he said you don't have to eat bread on Shabbos al Suda Shabbos? So Ben Yon explains Rabbi Natam meant was as follows, that Friday night there's a din of Kiddush, and therefore there's a din of Kiddush Mocham Suda. Shabbos morning there's a din of Kiddush Midirabanan, and therefore there's a din of Kiddush Mocham Suda. By Suda Shlishis there's no din of Kiddush Mocham Suda. And never was such a din of Kiddush Mocham Suda. There's no din of Kiddush altogether. So when Rabbi Natam said you could be Yaitzei Suda Shabbos with Midi Tagima, Rabbi Natam said Pshal Shudish you could be Yaitzei. He said, if you look at Rabbi Natam, that's what he says. That's what Tosfos calls Rabbi Natam. It's exactly what Rabbi Natam said. Rabbi Natam never ever meant to say nobody has to eat bread on Shabbos. Of course you have to eat a bread on Shabbos. You have to eat bread for a different reason. It's not all Suda Shabbos. It's all in Kiddush Mocham Suda. The Chamsa Nafkamina Lagabi Suda Shlishis. So Tosfos quotes that all the other Balei Tosfos disagreed with Rabbi Natam and said it's not true. But you have to eat bread on Shabbos because that's the pasuk. Ve'yom Hashichlo ever talk about the man. And the man had been like lechem. He didn't eat mamte lechem lechem in the shemayim. So even though it wasn't bread in the sense of chameshes being a dove growing in the ground, but it had a halachic status of bread. Mamte lechem lechem in the shemayim. The Torah calls it bread. So the only way to fulfill the mitzvah of Gibel Sudas is to mimic the man. You have to eat it something that's halachically called lechem. So it comes out that there was a machlekes in the time of the other Rishonim, not as stark as we thought it was. The machlekes was not about Friday night. Friday night, avadi have to eat bread. Either else the chiyuv of Gimel Sudas, or else the chiyuv of Kiddush Mocham Sudas. Shabbos morning, yizich have to eat bread. Either else Gimel Sudas, or else Kiddush Mocham Sudas. Whether or not you have to eat Suda Shlishis bread is the machlekes in the time of the other Rishonim. According to the time, there never was a chiyuv, because there never was a chiyuv of Kiddush Mocham Sudas, so there never was a chiyuv of bread in the first place, with Shalosh Shudas. According to all the other Rishonim, of course there's a chiyuv of bread, because. And then not be. It's the same Suda as the Friday night and Shabbos morning. So it's this Machlekes Rabbeinu Tam and the other Rishonim that sets the stage for the biggest of the halachic dilemmas when you have an Erev Pesach Chalos B'Shabbos. Because if you follow the view of Rabbeinu Tam, so then it would really be very simple. Then. So you don't have to find anything that's halachli bread. We just eat Shalva Shonas and Tuchach Giftanun and call it a day. But it's because we don't really follow this Rabbeinu Tam. Because the Poskim write, in Shulchan Aruch, we really try not to rely on this Rabbeinu Tam. We try to follow the view of Rav Rishonim, that there is a chi of bread for all three of the meals, not just Al Kitchen Bokum Sud, but Al Gimel Sud is Mamish. So that leads us to the following dilemma. The Gemara says that one is required to eat Gimel Sudas on Shabbos, and the Gemara describes the timing of those Sudas. The Gemara talks about the Sudas Laila, and the Sudas Boker, and the Sudas in the afternoon, the Shal Sudas. So it's unclear from the Gemara whether these time frames are absolute. It means that the mitzvah is to eat Gimel Sudas at specific times of the day. Mitzvah is to eat Gimel Sudas during the course of the day of Shabbos. Chazal would describe it. Mistami, you're not going to sit down and have one meal at 8 in the morning, one meal at 8 during the morning, one meal at 9 in the morning, call it a day. Mistami, you're going to spread out your meals appropriately. So when Chazal speak about the Sudas Erev, Sudas Berkah, Sudas of the Tzaharayim, is that halachic in nature? Is that just the Mitzias of the Varim? So that's a big machlekes of Rishonim. So there was one opinion of Rishonim to maintain. You can eat all your Sudas, whatever you want. You can eat Shalosh Sudas at 6 o'clock in the morning, whatever you want. As long as you wash the bench 3 times during the course of the day in Shabbos, so you're good to go. So in Shukhanach, we don't paskin that way. In Shukhanach, we paskin that Suda Shlishis has to be dafka in the afternoon. It's a very, very strange psach in the Shukhanach, because when it comes to whether or not Suda's boker has to be dafka in the boker, it's the same shayla. If you hold that the Gimel Sudas have to be linked to the time frames, so then that should be true for each one of the Sudas. So when it comes to Suda Shlishis, the Shulchan Aruch is machmir, like Rav Rishonim, that has to be dafka in the afternoon. And the Shulchan Aruch assumes the afternoon most probably means after Zman Mincha Gedolah. So you can't eat Shalosh Sudas at 6 o'clock in the morning, but yet the Shulchan Aruch doesn't quote any hesitation about eating Suda's boker in the afternoon. The Shulchan Aruch doesn't say anywhere in the Shabbos, when you get home, you have to make sure to have your Suda before Chatzos. Shulchan Aruch quotes the Rishonim, you're not supposed to fast past Chatzos, but you can get around fasting without eating a Suda. There are ways to get around that. You have to drink water before davening. Maybe Kiddush Mocham Suda doesn't need bread. There are kuntzim how to get around about not being Yotzei Suda Shabbos and not violating fasting. So the Shulchan Aruch and the Shabbos never makes mention of the fact that the Suda's boker has to be dafka before chatzos, dafka baboker. The Rambam seems to say it. Yeruch HaShulchan, quotes this Rambam. So the Rasa poskim say it, but the Shemunach himself, from the Ramad, Magen Avraham, Mishtabura, the regular conventional Mahalach, doesn't mention that. So it's a little bit of a strange phenomena, because if you're working with the assumption that Tzidus Shlishis is Dafka in the afternoon, so the corollary is that Tzidus Boker has to be Dafka in the Boker. But whatever the answer to that question is, that's not a Chespesach Shah, that's a Cheshavah Shah. Fine. So when it comes to Tzidus Shlishis, we're going to go with the Mahalach that we're really, really going to aim to have a Tzidus Shlishis in the afternoon. We don't want to be Mavater in that. We're going to try to get a Tzidus Shlishis in the afternoon. So herein lies the dilemma. This is what really creates the halachic obstacle here. Is that on the one hand, we're not following Rabbi Natan. So we insist that Tzidus Shlishis has to be something which is halachli lechem, something you could wash and make a meitzin pinch on. And on the other hand, it has to take place after Chatzos, or after Mincha Gedayla. So if you scratch your head and say, wait a second, so what is supposed to be on the table then? At that point in time, and let's say they changed the clock already, so Mincha Gedayla is after 1:45. At 1:45 in the afternoon, not this coming Shabbos, but next Shabbos, what exactly are you going to put down on your plate to roil the kach to recite a bracha of hamotzi? So we usually think there are two different kinds of foods that you can make a motzi on. One of them is called bread, and the other one is called matzah. Those are usually pretty much our options for hamotzi. So here, the Rishonim point out, you're 0 for 2. That there's no way halachli to put either bread on the table at that point or matzah on the table at that point for two very, very simple reasons. Not so simple reasons, but for two halachic reasons. One is, you're going to put chametz on the table. You can put a loaf of bread. You can take a challah roll, really. At 1:45 in the afternoon, on next Shabbos, you're going to take a challah roll. So what would we say about that? So Baruch Hashem, we learned Masechet Pesachim this year, so we should be able to say something intelligent about that. You know, some people, they don't learn Pesachim the whole year, so they say, oh, of course, Rabbi, of course, everyone knows you can't eat chametz in the afternoon or Pesach. Well, we're not so sure we even know that. So let's chazah for a second. Chazar. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, to eat chametz next Shabbos afternoon at 1:45 is an Isser lav with Malkus. L'secha lav chametz. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Allah refers to the Shechitas HaKorban. Once it gives man Shechitas HaKorban, once Chatzos rolls around, so then there's an Isser deraisa with Malkus to eat chametz. And the Rabban Paskin is like Rabbi Yehuda Shita. So according to the Rabbi Yehuda and the Rambam, it's mamshe no brain that no one's going to be eating chametz next Shabbos afternoon. So, wait a second, maybe we don't follow this Rabbi, maybe we don't follow Paskin Rabbi Yehuda. Who is the Bakhtuk of Rabbi Yehuda? Mishtana? Who's the Tana said there is no lav in the afternoon? Remember that Tana? Rishimon. Rishimon says, what are you talking about? There is no lav. The circle of Chometz is referring to Pesach, it's not referring to the Erev Pesach. So according to Rishimon, is it mutter to eat Chometz in the afternoon? So that was a loaded question. Who? What did Rishimon weigh in on that? Who remembers? According to the view of Rabbi Shimon, I don't say we follow him, but according to the view of Rabbi Shimon, what's the din? Are you allowed to eat chametz in the afternoon near Pesach? So Tosfos had a big chiddush. Tosfos says in Nafkav Ches that there's an issur deraisa to eat chametz even according to Rabbi Shimon, but it's an issur esei. It's not an issur lav. What's the issur esei? What? Tashbisu. It's a bit of tashbisu. Achim Rishon tashbisu. Tashbisu means shloi kederach hanosai. You have to get rid of chametz in the lahashpis means to destroy. Lahashpis doesn't mean to use. So when the Torah says that you have to get rid of your chametz, so that means you got to get rid of your chametz. You can't sit down and have a lunch with it. You can't take your bacon, have a slice of pizza and eat it every place in the afternoon. That's not being mashpis to chametz. That's the antithesis of being mashpis to chametz. And who is the bar plukta of Tosfos? Who is the biggest bar plukta? Who is the biggest bar plukta of Tosfos in this one? Who's the Rishon that says that? Who says eating is not destroying? Fakir, eating it. Balamor says fakir. If you eat your chametz in the afternoon, that's the best thing to do. He says that's gevaldik a mitzvah. What a gevaldik mitzvah deraish. A bracha be a chametz on it. As we said, the Balamor says ein chashpasa gedala mizu. As we make fun all the time of the yeshivish boy scouts, all the biachametz that take place from our yeshiva guys. Come on, it's a joke. The guy takes. They make a little fire. They have no idea what they're doing. And one guy comes with 16 lulavim, throws it into the fire, so the fire goes out. The next guy comes with the 16 bagels that don't burn. The next guy comes with challah rolls wrapped in plastic, so now all of a sudden the poisonous fumes are all over the place. And when the one guy comes and wants to throw out a couple of pieces of crumbs of the chametz, there's no fire left. So the Balamor says, eat the chametz. If you eat it, it'll be good. It'll be destroyed. It's not coming back anymore. So unlike Tosfos, who said the Tashbisu and Achila are antithetical to one another, the Balamor was the 180 degree difference. Balamor thought, fakir, that Achila is the greatest possible kibbutz. You can't get better than Achila Sechametz. Did the Balamor advocate to mamish eat chametz in Erev Pesach? Is that what the Balamor did? That's what he did in Provence? When Balamor was a kid, he was eating chametz in Erev Pesach. Is that what happened? So not exactly, because the Balamor also has to deal with the Mishnah, because the Mishnah says, Sarfim b'tchil sheish. So the Mishnah, at the end of the first parak, says that you're really supposed to get rid of chametz by the shashishas. With the Rabbanon, you have to get rid of it. So how does the Balamor read that Mishnah? So we talked about this. Now the Balamor holds, of course, with the Rabbanon, you're not supposed to dilly-dally and leave your chametz around until 3 o'clock. That's not supposed to happen, because Chazal were afraid. If you do that, then you're going to drag her a cup. You're not going to be able to teshmisa properly. You'll be able to buy your raw. You may end up forgetting until the night time. So Chazal did not want that happening. People on mass leaving of the chametz until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. So therefore, midir rabbanon, you're really supposed to give it to your chametz before. But the Balamor seemed to say that what if a guy didn't? He forgot. He forgot the Mishnah. And now it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now, gavalt, rabbi, what do I do? So what did the Balamor sound like you do? They eat it. Even midir rabbanon. That's what the Balamor sounds like. It sounds like that whole Mishnah was telling you what the proper protocol is. But if push comes to shove and you blew it, so according to the Rambam, it sounds like it's mutter, minatar zicha mutter to eat it, it's a mitzvah to eat it. It sounds like the Rabbanon are allowed to eat it. So we wouldn't, even according to the Balamor, we wouldn't set up our homes this way. You're not supposed to do this. So even according to the Balamor, we would not recommend for people to leave out the challah rolls and have shalosh shuras at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. That would be a violation within a Mishnah. That's against what the Tanoim did. So obviously the Tanoim didn't do this. So no matter how you slice it, challah is not on the table. It's a good, bad pun, okay? Mashiach, we'll get that pun for next Purim. It's challah is not on the table for 2 o'clock in the afternoon shalosh shuras. So again, so we need a shalosh shuras after Zman Nechri Gedayla, because the Shukrach is Machri. That's the Zman of Shalosh Shuras. We need something which is halachically bread or matzah, which is a moitzim, bichzamozah, and tilsidayim, because the Ravina Tam is not accepted. So what's there? What's available for us? So chametz is clearly not an option for a variety of either real deraisnik reasons, of lavim, of iser esei, they assume they're abundant, of hovarei, a whole gamut of different reasons why. But tachlas, lamaisa, no rishon under the sun, no tan and omer, no one's going to advocate to go ahead and mamish eat chametz l'chadchila at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Erev Pesach. Okay, so forget about chametz. Let's talk about matzah. We're going to be yotzei next Shabbos. We'll be yotzei Siddur Shabbos with matzah on Shvi'ah Pesach. So we're going to be yotzei Siddur Yom Tov with matzah. So what's wrong with matzah? What's wrong with matzah? Matzah is great. Matzah is gevaldig. Even some Svardim don't make a moitzi and matzah for technical reasons, but even they make it on Pesach. So what's wrong? So it's Erev Pesach. We'll eat matzah gevaldig. So comes the Rishalmi, and our Reb Sachem says you can't do that. Why? Because Rishalmi says there's an iser to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. Okay, there's an iser gomer to eat matzah on Erev Pesach. So it's unclear in the Rishalmi, is this an iser deraisa, is this an iser derabban? It doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash. So where would this iser possibly come from? What kind of an iser is it? So the Gemara says in Pesachim that when you bring a korban Pesach, so the zman of chilas korban Pesach is balayla. Yochos avos balayla zeh. So it's a very, very strange korban. The zman of korban Pesach is really unique. It's different from all other korbanos. Korban Pesach is different from all other korbanos in so many different ways. But one way is the very essence of the zman of chilas. All korbanos, you bring the korban, but yomahu yechel. Let's say if it's a carbon chatas or an ashram, you're not going to eat it. The kohen's going to eat it. Kachim. So let's say you breed the carbon at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. So you eat it that day. And then you eat it that night and finish. And then whatever's left over in the morning, then you burn. That's standard protocol for kachim. Kachim kalim, most kachim kalim, have the added day at the end. So you eat it that day that you brought it, then you eat it in between night, and then you get a whole other day until shkia, and then you burn it the following alas shachar. There are two exceptions to that rule. There are some kachim kalim that don't have shnei yom lailecha. What are those? Toda v'yol nozer. Okay, toda v'yol nozer. Toda says explicitly on nozer is derived from sukkim, from drashas. That toda v'yol nozer, al nozer is the common shlom that the nozer brings at the end of his nazirus. So there's a special court, special exception because of those kabbalas, even though they're kachim kalim. They're not kachim, they're kachim kalim, and they're eaten by Yisraelim, they're eaten in Yushalayim, they have all the other din of kachim kalim, but look at me, this din of Zmanachilos, and they're closer to the mal of kachim. So all kabanas, 99.9% of kabanas, are eaten right away, and then whatever's left over, you continue to eat until the cells manachilos. Korban Pesach is the only carbon that you shechted, and you don't eat it right away. You're not allowed to eat it right away. The Torah says, it's a bizarre din. You shecht it at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and the meat sits there. You roast it, and it sits there. You don't want to eat it. And if you partake of the meat, maybe on yom, that's an isser deraisa. It's not a law. It's an isser esse. that to eat the Korban Pesach of Yad Yom is an Issur Gomer, it's an Issur Yaseh. So there are some who want to suggest that maybe the same idea exists by matzah also. The Erev Teichle Matzahs, that you have to eat the matzah by Erev, and if you jump the gun and eat the matzah maybe Yad Yom, that's like a violet, it's like the same kind of an Issur of Achilles Korban Pesach maybe Yad Yom. The problem is, the Gemara never says that. Needed the Bavli nor the Rishonim. Nobody has this drasha. Some Rishonim have some kind of a drasha like that. But it doesn't seem a Farish and Chazal this drasha. Which would lead us to possibly believe that if there's no drasha, there's no makor, maybe the whole thing is only midrabbanan. We could understand why Chazal made the Yisad Rabbanan. They probably made the Yisad Rabbanan to make it clear that when you eat the Beseda matzah, it's matzah shal mitzvah. You know, matzah is the kind of thing that you do all the people eat matzah all the time. I eat matzah all year long. I love eating matzah. So usually shal shudas, it's a little lower on the cholesterol, a little lower on the calories. So I eat matzah all the time. So if a guy's going to be eating matzah all afternoon, Erev Pesach, he's going to say, I'm going to say to him, no pun intended, Anishtana Alalazel, how is Pesach different from Erev Pesach? So the Chazal wanted to have a little bit of a break. You should create that hekher between the matzah b'shus and the matzah shal mitzvah. So the pashta dvarim is that it's an issa midrabbanan. So the Rishami is very unclear, because the Rishami doesn't give us a mocha for this issa, but the Rishami does give a mocha, he gives a dimyan for the issa. What's the mocha? What's the mocha of the Rishami? It's kebala risasa beveis chomiv. Very, very strange mocha. The Rishami says that there's an issa of bala risasa. So when a person gets married, so in the olden days there was kiddushin, and then did we lose it or we're going to lose it? Turn red. Still gone? Okay. So in the olden days, you have kiddushin, and then there would be a long, long period of a break, 6 months, 10 months, a year, whatever the time frame was. So the girl would go back to her father's house, and the chassan would go back to his parents' house, and then they would get ready for the chassan, and then a year or so later, they would get back together again. So that was kiddushin, and then there was nisun. You're not required to do that. There's no halacha sitting, you have to have a break. The halacha is you have to have both. There's a din deraisa, you need erusin, there's a din deraisa, there's certain halachas you need nisun as well. So there are two stages of marriage. Erusin is kiddushin, it's the same thing. And the other mission says explicitly it's kesar shtar biya. There's no question what the three methods of kiddushin are. Nisuin is much, much vaguer. The Gemara never spells out what nisuin is. The Gemara just says, when it talks about nisuin, when it talks about chuppah, it's unclear what do you do exactly. How do you go about to make that second stage take effect? So there's an array of different opinions in Mishnah. Some Mishnah say it's a yichud, it's a ramshid, it has to be a yichud or a ramavia, the couple has to go into a room together, lock the room for a few minutes, until we do the yichud room. There are more quotes, some who say they have to stand under a makeshift house, they have to stand under a chuppah, that's good enough, that's considered to be a week of a chuppah, is what Chazal envisioned to be a chuppah. Other Mishnah have other interpretations, the Ranik Suba says, just means when they go home at night, l'shem, ishvishtai, that's a nesuin. So it's not exactly clear, some say, but that comes in a nesuin, some say. When some say that, meaning some communities have that they put a talis over the chasen calendar, the chuppah, maybe that's the chuppah. It's unclear exactly what the chalosh nesuin is, but the fact that you need him, so that's for sure. That's why we try to do everything. We have bedekins, and we have yichud rooms, and we have to go home, and they stand in the chuppahs. So at the end of the, after you spent $500,000, you want to make sure at least you were married, for everybody. So we go every possibility, every nuance of possible chuppah to make sure everyone's married, kedas u'chadid. But the halacha is you require kiddushin and nisuin, but there never was a halacha that you required a break between the two. It was the minhag b'shamayim, that was the custom. In the days of Chazal, they would have this break. Why did the custom change? So it changed because of the Crusaders. Because in the 1000s, 1096, when the Crusaders starting running around Europe, killing all the Jews, so it became very, very dangerous. You had situations where you had married women who were not living with their husbands yet, because they had already received kiddushin, and then you had this girl living in her father's house in the next town over, and the husband's over here, and she's over here, and then the Crusades are coming, and everyone's running for their lives, and people are ending up in different towns, and all over the place, and no one knows who's coming or going. It's like, that could create tremendous aguna issues, a tremendous reddish problem, you know, in the olden days, when there was very, very little communication, so that's terrible. So it's bad enough to run a crusade when husbands and wives are in the same town, so we hope and pray that they'll both survive together, never thought we'd get killed, but to have situations where no one knows who's alive, who's dead, who's running, who's escaped, so that's a disaster. So the Rishonim at that time instituted it, they changed the practice. They said it's too dangerous to have women who are issues, because once she receives Kesef Kedushin, she's an Eshes Gibur Ben Atar, she needs to get Medaraisa. So it's too dangerous to have an Eshes Ish living so far away from her husband. It's just going to create all kind of technical problems. So therefore, the Rishonim merged the two ceremonies into one. They said, you know, it's so much smarter now, let's just do the Kedushin and Suin, you know, within the break of 30 seconds between the two. And even though Baruch Hashem, the Crusades have long ended, that minute less than Arayim Azeh, that's what we do. So that's what we do Kedushin. And there never was a halacha to do it. Separate. It's not that we changed the din. There never was a din. The din was you need both. The time frame was a month, 2 months, 6 months, 10 months, a year, 5 years, whatever you want. The mishnah of the favorite of you, whatever the couple decides, it works best. So we break today for about 3 minutes, and so we have kedusha, and then they stand at a chuppah, and then they go to the yichud room and show him the whole thing has been merged together. So that's Nebuch thanks to the days of the Crusaders. It was at that time in history when the Rishonim realized that it was too dangerous to have Kedusha and Nisuin far apart, that they realized it was a technical glitch under the chuppah. The problem was is that there's a minhag that Kedusha is done ala kosher yayin, and Nisuin is done ala kosher yayin. They're both menhagim, they're not medina. You can do the Kedusha without one, you can do Nisuin without one. But the minhag Yisrael always was to do both of them ala yayin. So since there are brachas for each one, Kedushin has the bracha, v'chazayr, so the shekhi nishan mitzvah mitzivanim. So me'ikra din, that does not have to be preceded with wine. The Gemara never says to make a bar prayer before the v'chazayr sin. But the minhag Yisrael was to give it more chashiva. So we make it like kiddush, like avdallah, like benching. So we up it up a little bit and we make the v'chazayr sin ala kashu yayin. And then the nisuin also, the six brachas under the chuppah, so they're not really shared brachas, they're really six brachas. So we call them shared brachas because there was a minhag Yisrael to add on a bar prayer and also to make it a little bit more labedic, a little bit more, a little nicer. So the problem was in the olden days when they had Kedushin now and then they had Nisuin a year later, so then you could make a separate Barfiyah Buffet because according to old days, a year is a Hefsek. It's enough for Hezchadas, for Hezbrachas. The problem is today, when you make a Barfiyah Buffet and then you can make another bar prayer guffin. What, 3 minutes later? 30 seconds later, you make another prayer guffin. So, bracha batala. You just made a bar prayer guffin on the brachas Eversin. So then, you made a bar prayer guffin, a sheikh Yishan, gave the ring, and then you're going to run the six brachas under the chuppah and then dance off to the yichud room. So, it's mamish, how you make another bracha? It's a bracha batala. So, it's at this time that the days of Rashi, so it was instituted, I think Rashi himself was involved in this minhag, that the Rishonim said, we have to find something to waste time a little bit. We have to stall for time to create a little bit of a hefsek. So the Rishonim were scrounging around looking, what can we do to waste time under the chuppah? We have to do something really, really good. So people know how to waste a lot of time before the chuppah. People are very, very good at that. They know how to waste time before the chuppah, they know how to waste time after the chuppah. Nobody can think of a great idea. What can we possibly do? So we could have said a frikadillim, someone could have given daf yomi shir, we could have done a lot of things. So Rashi gave with the gevalik idea. Rashi says, you know what, we have this ksuba that we just wrote, we just signed. There's no halach, you have to read the ksuba. Fish said, you have to read the ksuba. There never was such a din, not there. I said, not there. Well, you have to read it, so you have to write it, so you have to sign it, so. But it's such a nice, beautiful document. Nobody understands it anyway. It's really, really nice and wonderful and warm and cozy, friendly. It talks about if the couple gets divorced or if he dies, who's going to pay how much money and what. It's very, 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 very appropriate to be read under the chuppah, if anyone understands it. So Rashi says, you know what? We'll read it. It's in Aramaic anyway. No one knows what it says anyway. So we'll read it under the chuppah. The person who reads it is going to break his teeth in the Aramaic anyway. It'll take 5 minutes till he reads it. Sure, and that'll be a half sec. So thus began the minhag of reading the ksuba under the chuppah. That's the sword. That's the only reason why I read the ksuba, was to waste, kill a couple of minutes in order to get an extra bar piyagof. Then in time, it became the greatest keeper under the sun. If a guy didn't read the ksuba, he's insulted. If he never wants to talk to the family anymore because they weren't mechabed him to read the ksuba. The ksuba is a garnish from garnish. The reading of the ksuba was not a din, it's not a din deraisa, not a din derabanan. It was a minhag that was started in the days of the Crusades in order to cover yourself with the extra baracha bar piyagof. So, at the end of the day, there is this short interim of time between Eris and Nisuin. For us, it's irrelevant, because it just happens so quickly. But in the olden days, there was a real, real break of time. So why am I telling you this? Because that's what the Rishalmi says. The Rishalmi says that if a person eats matzah in her Pesach, it's like Bala Rasasa Beveis Chomif. Is it Isser to be Bala Rasasa? Just because he was Makadish this girl doesn't mean he's allowed to live with her. He has to wait until Nisuin, the Chuppah, Yichah, whatever Nisuin takes. So if he goes ahead and jumps the gun, let's say he was Makadish her today, and then the Nisuin is set for 6 months from now, and he decides to go be Baala in the next 3 months, so that's an Issa Gomer. You're not allowed to do that. Baala Rasos was an Issa. So the guy was pushing. He was so impatient, he couldn't wait. She's married to him. They wait a couple of months, she'll be fine. She'll be able to be together with Heather. And he jumped the gun. So the Rishalmi says, it's like the guy with matzah. Wait a few minutes, you can eat matzah by the seder. It could be a mitzvah there, ice, but after matzah, but you jump in the gun eating matzah, maybe all the time. You're a boiler with sasa face hunger. You're someone who couldn't wait. You're too impatient. You couldn't wait a couple of hours to eat the matzah kedasu chedin. So the Rishalmi slaps him with that issa called boiler. It's ki'ilu is a boiler with sasa face hunger. So the Rishonim added on to that Rishalmi, and Yerushalmi write, because of that Yerushalmi, that we have a minig, that we don't sit down to eat the matzah until seven brachas have been recited. So we say seven brachas before we eat the matzah. Because the Gemara, the Brisa in Maseches Kala was a group of Brisas that appear at the end of Maseches Avodah Zarah. They're from the days of the Chazal, but they're not officially part of the formal text of Talmud Bavli. So they're a compilation of Brisas. There are a whole bunch of these Brisas. These are called Maseches Ketanis that are printed in the Talmud Bavli in the back of Maseches Avodah Zarah. Maseches Kala, Maseches Smachas, Maseches Sofer, Maseches Derech Eretz, Maseches Tzitzis, a whole bunch of, you open up the end of Avodah Zarah, you find these pages and pages and pages and pages just of statements of Tanaim that were never really formally part of Talmud Bavli. So they usually accept the halacha. Every once in a while we don't accept. Sometimes there are things that are contradicted by the Gemara, so we don't necessarily follow everything there, but many, many things that we do follow. So the opening line in Maseches Kala is, Kala b'loy bracha sur l'baila, that until she has brachas, so she can't be with her husband. What does that mean? So it's machlekes Rishayim. So some Rishayim say, what that means is, since the brachas are recited at the time of the Nisuin, the six or seven brachas are said under the chuk at the time of the Nisuin, so when the Maseches Kala says, Kala b'lo brachas sur l'baila, that means before Nisuin, she says, sur l'baila, which is the Yisur, b'lo resasa. And other Rishayim say, no, Kala b'lo bracha means brachas. Because even if you have Nisuin, but you didn't say Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah, so the couple are not permitted to be together. So it's not enough just to go to a Yichud Ruv, it's not enough just to stand under the Chuppah, there has to be an official formal recitation of the Sheva Brachas in order to be mount. That's what we do. That's why we don't send the couple off to the Yichud Ruv until we recite the Sheva Brachas. Because if you're going to send them off to the Yichud Ruv and you didn't say the first Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah, so it's a Chashash of a Kalabal of Brachas, you're not allowed to be together. They're not allowed to be the Yichud, maybe. So you have to make sure that the couple here's the first set of Sheva Brachas under the Chuppah in order not to be a Kal B'lo Brachas. So we shut him right. That's what we have a minig at El Elda Seder that we make sure we have seven brachas that are recited before we get anywhere near eating that matzah. What are the seven brachas that we recite? So different ways of counting them. So you can do the cheshbon yourself. So we have Bar Peir Gafen. What's next? You have Kiddush, right? Kashrut Bezmanim. Then you have Shekhi. This year we get a few more because Yap Nehaz, but okay, those don't really count. Then what else do you have? So you got a Bar Peir Adama. So that's a tricky one. There may have been one before that. According to some Rishonim, we made it Alatel Sidayim before that. For Karpas. Okay, we don't do that. Okay, what else? Then you have Gal Yisrael is another one. It's a Machlag Zem Rishonim, we didn't get another Bar Peir Gafen in there. That's a Shailas. Let's say if that doesn't get in there, so you still have one. You chop around another Alatel Sidayim. So you have a Motzi. Alfez Matz, 8, 9, 10. Some we have gotten more than 7. So depending on how you calculate, so you're going to end up with at least 7 brachas. Yeah, whatever. The mice, you're 7 plus. Whatever, you ended up with the brachas. That's a minute. This is not, the fact to make these brachas, these are Medina and the Gemara, but the fact that that's to be connected to Sheva brachas, that's already past the days of the Gemara itself. Fine. So the bottom line is, Rishami makes this dimyan and says that the Bala Risasa is the same as eating matzah. Does that dimyan, does that mashal indicate to us whether the Isra of eating matzah in our faith is in their Isa? So maybe that depends on whether the Isra of Bala Risasa is their Isa. Where did that Isra come from? Bala Risasa Beis Chama. Where did that Isra come from? Bala Risasa. So the Rambam writes in Uchaz Ishus that Isra Bala Risasa Gemara, you're not allowed to Bala Risasa Beis Chama before you have Nisuin. The Rambam writes it's only Mitzrabam. The Rambam writes, I mean, at Torah, she's your wife. The Torah is all finished. The Rambam holds that if a couple has Bia out of the context of marriage, so the Rambam writes that's an Isra Deraisa. The Rambam holds that that's called Ponia Bala Fenuya. The Rambam writes that's an Isra of Kadesha. That's what the Torah means when it says, I'll see a Kadesha with Reis Yisrael. So the Rambam writes that Isra of Kadesha ends if the Kadushan, once you're Makadisha, then the Isra of Kadesha falls off. The Isra of Zayda, the Isra of Bona Bobra doesn't apply anymore. So the Rambam says the fact that still you're not allowed to be Bala until after Nisuin, that's only Midirabban, because she's not fully your wife yet. Nisuin is a concept of Daraisa. Nisuin impacts Afaras Nadara, Minatara, impacts Yerusha, impacts Tumah, impacts Shekhs. There are a lot of Dim Daraisa that depend. It impacts what Einish Mrs. Bazin she gets if she's Mazana Tachdav. There are a lot of Dim Daraisa that depend upon the concept of Nisuin. But the Rambam says the Isser to be Bala to Nisuin happens not to be a Dim Daraisa. That Isser per se, upon him Bala Penuya, I'm sorry, that Isser Bala Risasai happens not to be an Isser Daraisa. Therefore, according to the Rambam, if that Isser is not an Isser Daraisa, and Yerushalmi uses that as the mashal, it's probably indicative of the fact that the Isser of eating matzah in Eretz Pesach was probably also only Midirabban. Not everyone agrees to the Rambam. There are some Rishonim who hold that the Israel of Balar Sasa is really is a Shav Deraisa. It's an Issa Deraisa. What would be a possible mocha for that idea that it's an Issa Deraisa? Someone would be Medayak from the Birchas Eresim. We say under the Chuppah, Asher Kiddishonim Mitzvayisa Mitzivan Al Arayas, Asalonis Arusas. So we make mention of both of those things. I felt like the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin that Tamid Chacham has to know certain things. You can't be called Tamid Chacham unless you know how to do certain things. So most of the things that are on the list, I don't know how to do. The Gemara says you have to know how to make Kesher Shel Tefillin. If you don't know how to make a Kesher Shel Tefillin, you're not really have to be called Tamid Chacham. So I don't know how to do it. The Gemara says maybe you have to know how to Shecht. Not a Shecht either. You have to know how to ksav, so it's a shalom mishem. Does it mean you have to know how to sign your name? Does it mean you have to know how to write Sefer Torah, Tefillah, Mezuzah? So some of them I know how to do, but the rest I don't. The Gemara says then you have to also know birchas chasanim. You have to, because you never know. You're going to be called to run a chasanim at any given moment as a rabbi. You be a talmid chacham if you don't know how to make birchas erusin. You don't know birchas erusin. Every rabbi has to know birchas erusin by heart. So if you stop most rabbanim to ask them to say birchas erusin by heart, probably half of them are fumfka. They don't know birchas erusin by heart. Why not? Because you have a sitter under the chuppah, you have a bencher under the chuppah, so you have the cards that have birchas erusin. So go figure. I was besad kedushin 2 days ago, Sunday, and I get to the chuppah. So I always, one of the things supposed to do is besad kedushin before the chuppah starts. When everyone's kind of, you know, after the bedekin, you should run ahead and just make sure everything's there under the chuppah. Sometimes you'll be surprised. Sometimes they don't have two cups there. Sometimes sometimes they forgot to bring the kittel. The ksuba's not there. The ashes aren't there. They have half a dozen things are missing. So you have to. Your job is to do that mental checklist to make sure everything's there. So I always go and I see to see. They usually leave me the brachas there. So every once in a while, they leave something which doesn't have birchas erusin. They just leave the shemir brachas. So those shemir brachas cards. You're supposed to leave shemir brachas cards with the birchas erusin card also. So well, they didn't. So they only had six of the brachas under the chuppah. Okay, so you have to improvise a little bit. Some Masada Kedushin do this. I personally don't like this. You know, as you know, in general, don't like this idea. Some just go on their phones, you know, and they look up, you know, Google birchas erusin, and they just recite it, you know, standing under the chuppah, holding their phone. I'm not such a big fan of davening from your phone, so I think it looks a little bit funny. So what I've done once or twice when this happened to me is very simple. So I happen to know birchas erusin by heart, but you know, I don't want to like, take a chance under the chuppah, stuff the phone call, you know, forget a word. So I write it out. So you know, typically I had a piece of paper in the back of one of the Tehillim cards that they give out to say under the chuppah. So I wrote out the birchas erusin. Ruach atah Hashem Rasheh Kiddushan Mitzayis Atzalam. I had it in front of me, so I was already rolling to go. So what happened? So I took it and I put it into my coat pocket. All right. So the chuppah was outside. So. COVID from the chuppah, so the chuppah was outside, and I was wearing my coat. And then I noticed that right as I called me up to be in Masada Kedushin, I know I said nobody else was wearing coats under the chuppah. You know, Chas V'Shalom weren't wearing coats, and the parents weren't wearing coats. I feel like stare the pictures a little bit. You know, I knew my wife was not going to be happy if I was the only guy. You know, if I'd bring her. Kapata, I wanted to wear my old gray raincoat, so I didn't think it was going to look so nice. So at the last second, I grabbed my, you know, I took my coat off, I threw it on the chair. They called me up for city condition. Of course, what happens when I get up there? I realize I left a piece of paper in my coat pocket. That's very, very embarrassing. So, and I turned off my phone already, so I wasn't going to start my phone over again. To, you know, something. So I had to risk it. Hope and pray, said Perek Dillam from on the back of the car. Said Perek Dillam that I don't forget the words of Birch Zeres. I remembered, so I have one out of the six things to be a Tam Chach. At least I know Birch Zeres. Fine. So, the bottom line is, it says the Birch Zeres in the Asalanos Arusas. So someone in the Midayik, Asalanos Arusas, we say that in the same breath with Kiddushan Al Arayas. It's about Arayas. Arayas is the Arayas. So it's Hekesh. If Arisa is Arisa, it must be Aslan Asarusa is Arisa. And others say, Mapidam. Others say, Aslan Asarusa is Midrabanan. The same way we make a bracha on Eres Hanukkah and Kiryas HaMegillah and Erev Tavshilin and Alakas Shabbos. You can make losas, you can make mitzvahs, you make brachas on Dirim Drabanan also. So the fact that we throw into the text Aslan Asarusa, that doesn't show anything. That just shows that you can't be Balar Asasa. It doesn't show you can't be Balar Asasa with Arisa. It doesn't tell you anything about anything. So that's a running machlokes of Paskim. So l'chora, whatever you think about that is Balar Asasa, it's probably the same thing that you think about eating matzah in place. So when all the dust settles, there are two things that are absolutely clear. You cannot eat chametz in the afternoon,
and you cannot eat matzah
or Pesach in the afternoon, or Pesach for the rest of the day, according to most. So whether or not those are Isurim Deraisa, Isurim Derabanan, Lavim, Essays, Mamech, each one is a loaded sugya. Each one is a topic in and of itself. But a chavit klos akol you can't do. So the bottom line is you can't eat chametz, can't eat matzah, and Rabbi Natan is not really accepted la halacha. So you need some halachic lechem, and it has to be after Zman Rechidayla. So that is what we call a checkmate. So those four pieces of information. You can't eat chametz, you can't eat matzah, you follow Rabbi Natan, it has to be after chatzai. So what possibly, if anything, could ever be left for us? So there are two different approaches to this dilemma. So there are some who take the approach and say that there is no answer to this question. This is checkmate. The game is over. And therefore, there is no way to eat Siddur Shlishis on Erev Pesach Chos B'Shabbos. And therefore, you don't have to bother doing it. So stop turning the world upside down. Stop davening at 3 o'clock in the morning. Stop driving your wives crazy. So finish. You don't have to do it. There's no way to do it. The same rabbis who instituted, or the same halacha that requires Shalom Shabbos, set up a situation that is impossible to solve. So we won't eat Shalom Shabbos on Erev Pesach Chos B'Shabbos. Finish. Come on. That's one approach. So the Emes says Rashi sounds that way. Rashi in the beginning of Pesachim sounds that way because the Gemara talks about when Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. So the Mishnah, the Gemara, the end of the first parak talk about you get rid of all the chametz on Friday. You're not going to burn the chametz on Shabbos. You get rid of the chametz on Friday. But Mishayim Mazav Beisudis, and you leave over two meals. So Rashi says, what happened to the third meal? So Rashi says, because you can't eat it. What are we going to do? So there is no third meal. So there is no third meal. So that's what some Rishonim say, that there is no solution to this kasha. There's no way to solve this dilemma. And forget about it. Stop wasting your time. Go. Help your wife get ready for your own stuff. There's nothing to talk about anymore. The sugi is over. So the Magen Avraham quotes this possibility, and he puts it into the words of the Zohar. There's a famous statement of the Zohar HaKadosh. Zohar is written by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. The Zohar that the Zohar was written by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. It's the Hail Yelatan, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, of course, is buried in Meron. So my son just sent me a picture. He's trying to walk Miyam Liyam. So they just finished the second day of Miyam Liyam. Say, tell them they finished the third day. So the second day of Miyam Liyam ends at Meron. Everyone did it? Everyone done Miyam Liyam? No, so it's they camp out at the bottom of Meron the second day. So he just sent me a picture right before Shia. Sent me a picture of the hills of Meron. So the Hail Gatan of Shur Bayachai. So the Hail Gatan of Shur Bayachai in the Zohar says that when you have the Shur Bayachai says in the Zohar that you don't have to eat Shalosh Shuddis. You can just learn Torah. Learning Torah is B'makom Shalosh Shuddis. So the Magen Avraham says, what does that mean? A regular Shabbos? You never have to tell Shabbos. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai holds there's no dinner Siddur Shabbos. Well, that's ridiculous. So obviously what the Zohar meant was, in situations where you can't eat Siddur Shabbos, it's pasha impossible. So either because you don't have any bread to eat, or you're on a desert island, or whatever, or it's Erev Pesach Chos B'Shabbos, so it's impossible. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is saying that in place of Siddur Shabbos, there's an intellect, learning Torah, there's a ruchniyistika lechem, ruchniyistika nourishment, and whatever tikkunim are accomplished by Shalosh Shuddos, so lazy, you can do with learning. No, of course you have to run home. There's a real chiyuv to eat Shalosh Shuddos, so you have no choice. You have to eat Shalosh Shuddos on Shabbos, so it's a mitzvah chiyuv shalasas de'echeirim, so you have to stop learning and go eat. Yishachocha v'ina b'rosha, you should have eaten Shalosh Shuddos before, figured out how to do it when you come to Shir also. I remember there was when I used to be the Marsha Kolo counselor many, many moons ago, so one of my great responsibilities was to wake up the Bachram. So I had to wake him up for Shachris every morning. That was a challenge. And I had to wake them again Shabbos morning. So after davening, we'd get up early Shabbos morning, and we would daven early. Then there'd be like a quick breakfast or something, and then some guys would go take an hour nap before lunch, and then after the lunch, we'd have the second nap. We used to call the Fleishig Milchig nap. You go to sleep Fleishig, wake up Milchigs, and you're not a yucky. So that would... But some people would take that first nap also. So they take like 10 o'clock in the morning to 11:30 or so in the morning, first nap. So I used to always go around at 11:30 waking up the boys for lunch. So there was one bacher who came from a quasi, he thought he was Hasidish, I don't know exactly what he was, but he every time I'd wake him up, he said to me that his minig is he doesn't eat lunch. He's going to eat Shalosh Shuddos later, that'll be a second suddah, and he doesn't eat three suddahs on Shabbos. So Shimon Bar Yochai says you don't have to eat three suddahs as long as you're learning Torah. So two kashas. Number one, he said it in Erev Pesach Chos B'Shabbos, not in the middle of July. And number two, this guy didn't seem to be learning too much Torah. He was sleeping all day. So I don't think that was Rav Shimon Bar Yochai's keep of living in Torah. Whatever it was. I guess he followed the other Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Rav Shimon Bar Yochai says in the Nachas that he tests a few little shana per kechad. Shachas Yavis Yatsi. Even if you just say Kriya Shema, it's also called Talmud Torah. So this time he was having to that Rav Shimon Bar Yochai. Fine. So back to our story. So you could take that approach that there's no solution. That's it. Or you could take the approach and saying, no, we are going to turn the world upside down in order to find the solution. So what possible solution can that be? So one possible solution is based on a comment of Rabbeinu Tam. It's interesting because according to Rabbeinu Tam, there really wasn't much of a problem in the first place. But Rabbeinu Tam could actually save the day for us. It's a Rabbeinu Tam that appears in Taizim Sachem of Tzadi Tesla base. A little bit of background of what Rabbeinu Tam said and why it becomes so useful here. The famous Mishnah, the beginning of Rabbi Pesachim, L'yochol ad mesha techshach. So the Mishnah says, Samach l'mincha, this means mincha ketana. It's a suffix in the Gemara. The Gemara's patient means mincha ketana. So late in the day, on Erev Pesach, L'yochol ad mesha techshach. So let's say from 3, 4 o'clock, whatever time it is in the afternoon, L'yochol ad mesha techshach. So Rabbi Natam says he doesn't understand the Mishnah. L'yochol ad. What did the Mishnah mean you shouldn't be eating? So Rabbi Natam makes a simple chesh, but he says, not eat chomet. It's been also since the Shoah Chavish is in it. It's been also since 10 o'clock in the morning. So obviously, the Mishnah's not talking about eating pizza. What's it talking about? Matzah? Matzah, tach di Yushalmi. Bar la besos habeis chomim. So what's the Mishnah talking about? A peiris. The Mishnah, you can't have an apple. You can't have a marshmallow. You can't have a little snack. The Gemara says, Metalva mini tagim. You're allowed to have little snacks. A lot of little things. On your way to Shul to Mincha, you're allowed to grab a little snack. Forget about Shabbos. It's a regular Pesach. So Ben Tam says, so what's the Mishnah talking about? What does it mean? Lo yechol ad mesha techshach. So Ben Tam says the Mishnah must be talking about kinds of foods that are not just little snacks; they're real meals. You can't have a meal. A meal always means to wash. So what are you washing on? What can you possibly be washing to have a meal? Lo yechol ad ma. Says Ben Tam, matzah. Matzah. He just told me matzah you can't eat. No, it's a Ben Tam. You can't eat matzah erev Pesach. Only a kind of matzah that's royal lekach to be yotzei the seder. But if I'll find you a matzah that you can't be yotzei anyway by the lela seder, so that kind of matzah was never included in the yisur. Bala v'sasi, it's not your arusa. She's not your wife. It's a different matzah. So you're allowed to eat that matzah in erev Pesach. What kind of matzah can that be? It's a bit of time. It makes reference to the sugi in the second paragraph of the Gemara learns that from Sukkim. The Torah in one place in Re'eh describes matzah as being lechem oni. So lechem oni teaches me a whole array of dinim. One of the dinim of lechem oni is that it can't be too fancy. What's being fancy? If you instead of making flour and water, a poor person, you can't afford anything. Water is very, very cheap. So he makes flour and water. Whereas a rich person, flour and water, what doesn't have any taste? It's going to be such a shvacha, bland matzah. He starts putting grape juice into his matzah. He puts honey into his matzah. He puts oil into his matzah. Fancy, schmancy matzahs. That's his matzah shira. That's the rich man's bread. That's no good for the lala seder. It's not called lechem oni. So Ben Tam says, since you can't be yaitu with matzah shira, with fruit juice matzahs, at the seder, you're allowed to eat those matzahs on Erev Pesach. And that's what the Mishnah's talking about. When the Mishnah says, le'yechol adam ha-shetechshach, so it doesn't mean don't eat chametz, that's pshita. It doesn't mean don't eat shmur matzah, it's pshita. It doesn't mean don't eat fruit, because you're allowed to eat fruit on Erev Pesach. So what's meant in the Mishnah, le'yechol adam, means don't sit down and eat a meal with shmur, with matzah shira at 6 o'clock in the evening, an hour before shkia on Erev Pesach. That's wrong. That's going to interfere with your ability to eat the matzah l'teyom. So according to Ben Tam, we may have solved the problem. We may have found the solution. According to Ben Tam, I got a great thing to put on the menu for Shalosh Shabbos. Daven Mincha 1:45, early Mincha on Shabbos. Come home and wash. Have some egg matzah. What we call it egg matzah is fruit juice matzah. It's just colloquially called egg matzah. Have a piece of egg matzah with a piece of gefilte fish. Sing Mizbodom. Sing you did in that fish. Sing all Yizmiras and bench and go to sleep for 3 hours and you shall by Israel. What's the big deal? What's the shalom? So last night, Suda was not such a big deal. Last night, you ate challah. Challah the night before. This morning, you daven a little bit early on Shabbos morning. By 10 o'clock, still before anyone's man, even before the early's man, you can have a piece of challah and shoy. Where you can eat it, you can eat it on the table. We'll talk to your wives later about how to logistics. We'll talk about pure halacha. The only Suda that was a real halachic dilemma that seemed to be insurmountable was Suda Shlishis. We just surmounted it. We just overcame it. We just solved the problem. It's called Matzah Shira. Gevalt Gates are based on the Rabbeinu Tam. So there are multiple glitches with this solution. So one solution, one problem, potential problem with this solution is that the Gemara says, Beferish in the Sech Berg of Pesachim, Meperis Emach Mitzit. that if you mix fruit juice together with flour, it doesn't become chametz. The fair shigamah, the fair same chametz. Nevertheless, there is a big machlekes that we share in you, but that's an absolute all-conclusive statement. Is that always true or sometimes true? So there was some Yishayim who say that when you have meperis alone with flour, it's taka in machmitz. But if you put some water into the mix, then it is machmitz, and this becomes even worse. It's actually machmitz faster than it would with water alone. Why that's true, I have no idea. Okay, I don't know what the science of that is, but there are some Yishayim who say such an idea, that if you add in a little bit of water, then you're up to, then you don't have that 18-minute buffer. The Mishnah, the Gemara in the third Pechum Sachem says, when you mix flour and water together and let it sit, if it's less than a meal is about 18 minutes, so then you don't have to worry about it. Chametz doesn't happen right away. Some people think flour and water touch each other, boom, it explodes, and one step it becomes, chametz, it takes a little bit of time. Things take time to sit around a little bit. So it's like, even COVID doesn't spread in a split second. But 10 minutes, 15 minutes, depends what sheet they're using. It's mitzdarif, k'dechelas prask, k'dechelas kol yom, and a different shiurim. But a little bit of time for the damage to happen. So chometz also, it doesn't happen in one split second. It takes a little bit of time for it to happen. So some Yishanim learned pshat based on different sugyas in Sefer Pekah Pesachim, that if you have flour, water, and juice, things are going to happen even quicker than if you would have just had flour and water. Flour and juice itself, nothing happens. Flour and juice and water, things go quicker. Who is the Rishon who says that, by the way? Anyone know? What a strange coincidence. It's Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, let's go to Rabbeinu Tam, such a form. Rabbeinu Tam said this to explain a whole series of Gemaras in the Sefer Pesachim. Rabbeinu Tam came up with this theory. So it's based on this Rabbeinu Tam, based on some other reasons also, that there are more quotes that are minhag developed in the Ashkenazi communities, not the Imatz Hashiur Pesach. Not only because of the Seder. The Lela Seder, I don't need the Ramah's communities. That's what we did in the Gemara, you can't need because it's not Lechemani. I want to sit down third day Chalamoid. I'm going to the zoo and I want to take some matzah. So I don't want to take a shmur matzah. I don't want to take a regular matzah. I want to take some matzah shit. It tastes a little bit better. I'll get some good geshmach apple juice matzah. So what's wrong with it? So Ramah says, no, you can't eat it. Why? Because even though this apple juice matzah has no water in it, and they're very, very, very careful not to have any water in it, because they don't want to have chimitz problems, but there's a minhag Yisrael, minhag Ashkenazi communities in Klal Yisrael, not to partake of matzah shira during Pesach, because you never know, maybe a little bit of water didn't mix in, it's a siyag, a gazera, you want to be a little bit extra careful in Pesach, as a minhag. The Ramah, when he quotes this minhag, writes that since this minhag is a little bit of a far-fetched chumrah, because the mice, if we were careful and we didn't put water in it, it's like, why should we assume there was water get mixed in? So the Ramah writes that this minhag was only accepted for healthy people. People who are chayim a little bit, and older people, and babies, and people who have trouble sometimes digesting hard and matzah, if they want to eat a little bit of an easier digestive matzah shira, they have a right to do so. The minhag was not low plug across the board. This is a fairish Ramah. That's why in Ashkenazi communities we refrain from egg matzahs, we refrain from egg matzah products. So there are many, many products out there on the market. You have to be careful, you have to look at the box and read it. Whether it's some things say fairish egg matzah, some things are like, sometimes they sell certain crackers that are egg matzah crackers. Well, there's nichshol and they're eating them. So again, it's not even chametz, but there are mazminig is, if you're healthy, you shouldn't be eating them. So remember, I was a little boy, I'm sure Mr. Alter remembers this as well, I was a little boy, so you had a lot of things on the market that were egg matzahs, that were matzah shira. And he used to, in Yiddish, there was always a little bit of a disclaimer. In tiny magnifying glass in Yiddish, it says, the inyan achilas matzah shira, ayin kitta shukhan aruch sibin such and such. That was it. So all the people who were going to the Goyish supermarkets, all the people in the 1950s who knew exactly where to hook up everything in kitta shukhan aruch, were running to go see what zvishtet in kitta shukhan aruch. It said on the box, kosher for Passover, so they bought it to finish. So you had Kam Ashkenazim who were violating this minhag, so Bush didn't know. So over the years, so some of the companies were taking the task for this, a little bit of false advertising. So then it got a little bit better. So then after that, they changed the text a little bit, and it said in English. It said, concerning the eating of egg matzah products, look at the code of Jewish law. So we switched from the 1950s to the 1960s, we went to the code of Jewish law. Oh, everybody had the code of Jewish law, which is the English translation of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Everyone had that, and everyone was standing in the supermarkets, fiddling through the pages to find the siman that says you're not allowed to eat this. So yeah, do it. People were still eating it. But in later years, and that's what the minhag is now, usually it says in the egg matzah's products, it says, according to Ashkenazi Jewish tradition or something, these should only be eaten by the old, by the sick, whatever it is, consult your rabbi or something like that. So it's a little bit clearer. Again, I'm sure there are plenty of people who don't know anyway. They're still buying it. But those who don't know, it's not at the end of the world. It's just a violation of Minigar Mot, not that it's Chometz. So according to this practice that we have, that we don't eat egg matzahs on Pesach because of this chashash of Chometz, so it was a big machlekes apaiskim. Does this minug carry over to Erev Pesach? Now, eating Chometz in Erev Pesach is also, but it's nowhere near as chomer as eating Chometz on Pesach. According to some, it's a deraisa, Malkus, it's an essay, maybe on a derabanan, all the more it's a mitzvah. So the stakes are significantly lower in Erev Pesach than they are on Pesach itself. Was this minigah deramor, this Ashkenazi custom, was this custom adopted on Erev Pesach? It's very, very hard to know the answer to that question. It's a very, very difficult question to know. What was the minigah shol for 500 years? Did they eat the egg matzahs in Erev Pesach or not? If they did, if it's mutter to eat egg matzahs, even according to Ashkenazim, if it's mutter to eat egg matzahs in Erev Pesach, then we solve the shol shuvah dilemma. You eat shal shuvah, like I mentioned, 1:45, right after the early mincha, 2 o'clock, you sit down and shal shuvah and egg matzahs. But if you hold that included in this minig was to refrain from egg matzahs on Erev Pesach also, so then this whole shtickle Torah Rabbeinu Tam of using egg matzah at 2 o'clock in the afternoon is not going to help us, since we just lost the shiur at 12 o'clock, so we're going to stop right now. Okay. Make sure the guys realize we're stopping anyway. See if it comes back. Okay, anyway, so the bottom line is stay tuned. Hopefully we'll get to Shem tomorrow. So we will continue this saga of what in the world, if anything, to eat for Shal Shabbos. Tell the guys they didn't miss anything.